found out something was dangerous by hurting yourself, right? You stuck a fork in an outlet, you got shocked. If you live, you didn't do it again.
Strangers with Kittens, Gen X stories from the least parented generation.
Suck it up. Walk it off. Don't be a baby.
In the 70s and 80s, if you got hurt as a kid, those were pretty much the responses that you would hear if you told anyone you got hurt, which why would you? Here to tell us their Gen X injury stories.
His work's been on Hallmark, Disney, Netflix, TV writer Charlie Shanayan, and my friend and yours, comedian Marianne Murray.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's
fun
my
to be
pleasure.
Here.
What were you saying? We're so hilarious.
What were you saying before, Charlie? About how funny we are?
Honestly, like listening to your podcast, it started me down like just thinking about things in my own life that just the assumption was that they were normal. And I've known, of course, you know, everyone has these stories about like, oh yeah, when I was a kid, we did this or that. And there's, you see little things on Instagram here and there about people talking about Gen Z versus Gen X or whatever. But it's not until you start thinking about your own life in a way that's like, oh, wait a minute, that's not typical.
Not quite right.
That's not normal.
But it was normal then, though.
Well,
a lot
it
of
was.
It.
And it was the, you don't think so? That was normal? You don't think that was?
I mean, you can only speak for your own household, but there was definitely some abnormality in my household. Let me put it that way.
We were pretty stable in so many ways, too. And I think that yet there's all these weird things. And I was just trying to figure out, like, what is it that is so different? Because why is it different than the boomer generation? You know, like, why is it different? And the only thing that I could think of was, you know, we were the generation where it was like post, you know, well, women's liberation was happening around the same time, right? So women were getting into the workforce a lot more. And right. So moms were almost everybody's mom I knew worked to some degree, right? And that wasn't necessarily the case with the boomers, yet they worked, but it wasn't the daycare generation yet either. So it was just mm-hmm. like, we're going to work.
Good luck to you.
Well, because my mom worked and she was a nursing supervisor, but she was still expected to continue her role as the mom.
So 100%.
Like, she still had to clean the house. She, like, my dad did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think also, like, our parents' generation came out of, like, the 50s, and we were, like, kind of the promise of all the, like, all the turmoil. Like, we were going to be the...
We and were then the it, promise? Wow.
When were they disappointed?
That's poor.
But somehow we ended up being responsible for our parents as children and for our children as parents.
And so much also, I realized, falls like there's gender, you know, like if you're a boy or daughter or son, and then birth order too. Like so much of the level
Definitely.
Of responsibility we were given back then.
And you see that more with your kids, right?
Yeah, well, I see it like just growing up too. Like I was the youngest and the only boy. So there was a
I
lot
was how
less.
How many?
Three. Two older
and
sisters.
And I was the youngest of only. I was the youngest and only girl of three.
Yeah,
pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of six.
Oh wow!
Yeah, she wins.
So, do you know comedians are almost always the youngest?
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
You were saying that you have an early dismissal because of the snow. We had school cancellation last night before there was even a flake.
Oh, don't you hate that? And just think, like, in relevant to our topic, snow days are such a huge thing. But I can remember like twice being driven to school in elementary school.
Just
like
get out.
I walked. It was galoshes or rubbers that you'd put over your shoes or boots. And just would walk in the rain. I don't remember having an umbrella. Certainly did not have an umbrella.
I had a bubble. I didn't have galoshes, but I had a clear bubble umbrella so that I could like see through it.
Oh, I remember those. Yes.
I had that.
No, yeah. I just had like a hood on my raincoat and walked, you know, like every single
day. You missed the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Walked to school.
But for high school, I took a bus and it came at 6:50. And if you missed it, I had to walk, but I would just hitchhike down the main road, and the teachers would beep and wave. They wouldn't give you a ride, but somebody else would.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So resourceful. See, this is why we're so resourceful. I had to walk to everything, elementary school, junior high, high school, till I got my license. When I was in kindergarten, my older brother, who was 3 years older than me, was supposed to walk with me. But as soon as we got like out of my mother's view, he was like, get at least 10 paces behind me and don't tell mom. So I just walked behind him and pretended he didn't know me and followed him to school. And then he eventually was done and I just walked by myself. And then I did leave 2 miles and I still didn't get a bus.
I guess maybe it was 2 miles or three. I don't know what there was a certain race. I was so envious of kids on the bus. I was so I didn't want my parents involved. Like first grade, I remember the first day of first grade, I didn't want my mother to drop me off. So I went by myself. I had my sister take me, who was in sixth grade. Wow. And she dropped me off in the cafeteria where all the first graders were hanging out with their parents or some without the parents. And I'm like, I can't even imagine that now, you know, like that you would.
No, you'd get arrested.
Went to school by yourself.
In my town, they had like, you know, throughout the town, they had maybe 3 or 4 elementary schools within each neighborhood. So like, I remember in second grade, my mom going, okay, here's your lunch. And I just like walked to school by myself. Like,
were you scared?
Yeah, I was
me too.
I mean,
me too.
And
fully thought I was going to get kidnapped.
And weird people would start talking to you, and you had to just kind of figure out how to handle that, like in real time. And also, like the other thing I was thinking about was not do what my parents told me to. Like I remember, I had to. My parents decided they didn't want to go to church anymore, but I still had to go.
And
I had to bring the program to prove that I went. And my big rebellion is I would wear jeans because I had to wear a skirt to church. And I was like, and I hung out in the back.
Back. I'm going to guitar church. Mass. No.
My big rebellion.
My parents stopped going when they bought a candy store when I was in kindergarten. And it was just like.
They had to work.
You're on your own. Like, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. The store was like 10, 12-hour days. And my dad still had his full-time job. And I had to get myself to CCD. And it was at somebody's house. And I had no idea. Like, my town was pretty small, but it felt so gigantic to me then. I remember just wandering around this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess my parents had said, like, go down Ridge, make a left, make a right, make a left, make a right, whatever. Like, I'm like 6. I couldn't get myself there. And I finally just sat down on the curb and cried because I couldn't even get myself home at that point. I was so turned around. Right. And this woman that I went to high school with, who she was in my CCD class, and she also came from a pretty big Irish Catholic family.
She'll figure.
We had a high school reunion. She's like, I just remember just seeming so on your own and just... I remember my mother pulled over in the station wagon because you were just like on the curb crying.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
They picked me up and like asked me where I live.
Oh, you and never made it to CCD?
And I never made it to CCD.
Did you get in trouble?
The like guilt of that.
Did you get in trouble?
It wasn't so much trouble as like, what is wrong with you? Why
can't
like,
you can't figure this out at 6?
You figure this out? You couldn't get yourself there?
You know, it's funny you should say that because I feel like there was a lot of just like, this is what you're doing now. And you just like accepted it. It's like, you're just going to walk to school on your own now, or we just want you to do this now. And you're just like, okay. And you just figured it out.
No, there is something. I mean, you do, I feel like you do, you learn, you figure things out. There's that line. Like, I mean, I don't think they're to grow us. I think they were doing it because that was just how they had to handle it. But there is like a growth that happens in an independence and an ability to sort of fend for yourself at a younger age and in a lot of different ways, which is helpful. But yeah, it would be nice if there was a little oversight to the.
I want to hear the story, Charlie, of your broken arm.
I do too.
Oh my gosh. So when I was in eighth grade, I was on a skateboard, which is like, we didn't have skateboards in Massachusetts. There weren't a lot, but I got a skateboard and it was cool to ride my skateboard. And I fell off. I was actually trying to like play basketball and skateboard at the same time.
And wow. Just,
you know, combination.
What could go wrong?
And
skateboarding wasn't hard enough.
And I broke my, it was my left arm. and no, I'm sorry, it was my right arm. My right arm, because this is important. So I got
it was
home.
Your writing, it was your writing hand.
It was my writing hand. Your writing, yeah, I'm a writing. Okay. And I went home, and I did. I was sort of like, oh, my arm hurts. And I was, oh, okay. You may see. There's no blood. You're okay. So
there's
I just
blood.
Assumed.
I'm an orthopedist. Let me see.
It was fine. That was the end of the conversation. That was literally the end of the conversation. And I took it to mean I'm fine. And I remember like being in class and like having to like try to figure out how to write lefty and like trying to hold my pen like this in my kind of making a fist right now. I just would move my fist with my other hand to write things and not thinking to say anything. And then I remember the hardest part was getting my pants on because I had to wear, you know, my little corduroys or whatever they were. And I couldn't get the zipper up with my left hand because I just wasn't coordinated enough with my left hand to get it up. And I remember, so 3 weeks had gone by and I casually said something to my mother about like, yeah, it's kind of a pain getting these. I can't wear those jeans because I can't get the zipper up. And she said, what do you mean?
It doesn't work.
And she... Meanwhile, I'm eating meals
weeks.
With these people, right?
We're no eating one is noticing that you're in excruciating pain.
We're eating meals. I'm bathing. I don't know how I was brushing my teeth, but whatever. Oh, something was happening.
If and, you were brushing your teeth.
And then she's like, what do you mean? I said, my arm, remember? She said, that still hurts? I said, yes, it still hurts.
Two elbows now. I don't know if you realize.
So she took me... She took me to the orthopedist and they took an x-ray. And I remember the look the guy gave my mother. And it was like
she beat you or something.
Like he's here to call, like, yeah, CPD, you know, like,
yeah,
because what's going on here? And then I got to go out to, got to go to a restaurant for dinner that night.
She felt guilty.
Yeah, she felt guilty. And my father didn't feel guilty because he never knew that there was pain.
Anything.
3 weeks earlier, right?
He knew nothing about anything.
So, yeah. And then it was the fun. So I remember, so that was when I was in eighth grade. Then, when I was a sophomore in college, I was in my dorm room and guys, we were just like fooling around, whatever. I jumped off a bunk and I banged my arm and I was like, oh, I think I broke my arm. And I was like, you baby, you did not break your arm. And I was like, no, I think, and like, no, you're fine. So I was like all night long. I was like, oh, like lying in bed the next day. I was like, I'm going to the infirmary. And I went and the nurse said, you really think it's broken? And I said, well, it might be. And she's like, well, we have to take you to the hospital to x-ray it. And we have to get campus police to drive you.
It was like being home.
You really
you're going to have to decide
broken.
If you want to inconvenience me that much.
I said, I think it is. It was broken in like three places. It was like my wrist,
holy
my elbow up here.
Crap. She's like, do I have to get out of my chair?
Literally, yeah.
I got to fill out all these forms.
But yeah, exactly.
You just suck it up.
Yeah, and it made me think like, wow, but there were so many like injuries, but it wasn't so much about like Marianne, I know you've said like it was, you know, you scared you're going to get in trouble. I mean, there was only a couple of times I felt like I was going to get in trouble. It was more just like that whole like suck it up attitude.
Yeah,
like,
it was a totally suck. You're right. It was
are you
more
a baby?
Yeah.
Like, don't yeah. be a baby. You're going to be fine. Yeah, I remember when I was like probably like around that time, no, younger. I was probably like 10 and we were, me and my friends were playing behind the Little League Park on the rocks and we're playing. And I fell and my butt landed on, because, you know, that's where the teenagers drank their beer
yeah.
bottles and they would,
oh.
you know, crash their
oh,
beer bottles.
God.
And so my butt, I was like, ow. And I went home and I looked, trying to like get a look at my rear end in the mirror. And there's this huge, like, chunk. I didn't tell a soul. I didn't tell
oh
anybody.
Oh my God.
It could have bled out.
The glass was out. I hope the glass, I mean.
It's
went,
like you
and
took
I found,
it out, you made
over.
Sure. Wait,
I found
you
a
took out the glass. You made sure there was none left in the bath. Like you had to, not only did you care for
yeah,
you,
I had
but
to
you cleaned
throw
up
away
the bathroom.
I threw away the bloody underwear.
Of course you did.
I didn't want my mother to see the bloody underwear.
Of course yeah. not.
And it was,
what a waste.
It wasn't because I thought I would get in trouble, but it was just this sense of like, you don't need to bother anybody.
You well, know, it was almost like you just didn't want to interrupt them because they're like, wow.
Didn't
you
feel
didn't
like
want
it
their
was
attention.
A moving train? Yeah, it was like yeah. a moving train. And like
yeah.
you couldn't, you like you had to keep up. Like broken arm
yeah.
or no broken arm, glass in your butt or no glass in your butt. You better
leave
in
the
moving.
Station, kid. Leave in
yeah.
the station.
That's it.
This sense of like guilt over things they shouldn't feel guilty about, right? But the system supported that guilt. I guess, you know, like, so
yeah.
you were meant to feel like, yeah, don't tell them. Yeah, you got it. Figure that out.
You got it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
you better
and we
come
did
to me.
Get in trouble.
It better be something. Yeah, I got in trouble, but.
mm-hmm. for everything. It was just like, I guess it was the annoyance coming out as, I don't know, it was just aggravation, you know, at the fact that now we're inconvenienced that you're hurt or you're sick well, or whatever. You know, look, like my sister got hit by a car and she was lying on the street.
It's the best.
Getting yelled at on the street.
So awesome. Now your kids would like videotape you like post it on Instagram and you'd be arrested.
No, I remember so clearly. It was a summer night. We were eating dinner and I took too big of a bite of some meat that we were having. And I started choking. And my mother took me out onto the porch and she's like banging my back because no one knew the Heimlich.
Nobody knew the Heimlich.
So she's banging me on my back. And I remember my friends walking by with a basketball, like going to play because it's summertime after dinner for them. And my mother yelling as she's hitting me, I told you not to take such big bites.
Why do you have to be such a slob?
Chew your food better.
Chew
and a big hunk of meat. The hunk of meat came flying out. And it was fine.
With the back slap. That's impressive.
It did come out.
Let me ask you something, Charlie.
Yes.
Did you chew your food after that? Did you learn your lesson? You did.
I learned my lesson.
You did. You learned
your
lesson.
Cut it in smaller pieces.
That's right.
Chew your food better. Yeah.
I remember, I feel like there also had to be like, before you would get your parents involved, you had to be sure it was like worthy of the interruption. I stepped on a sewing needle that got into the heel of my bone. Because I stepped on the needle, I looked at my heel, and it was like, it was, you know, flush with my skin. And I was just like, And I was sitting there thinking about
is this
it.
Code yellow? Or
then I had the Wile E. Coyote idea of going, you know what? She's not going to believe me unless I start screaming. So I was like, start screaming, crying at my mom. And she's like, what? And then my parents had a huge fight about it. I don't know if your parents ever fought.
Why did you fight over that?
Because my mom was like, she's going to have to go to the hospital. And my dad was like, Jesus Christ, Carol, every time these kids skin their knee, you got to bring them to the emergency room. And she's like, well, what do you think we should do? And he's like, get a magnet and pull the nail out.
Speaking of Wile E. Coyote, does someone have a 4-foot by 3-foot magnet? Like, what?
Something. Just like stop the conversation, and she was like, "Oh, fuck! I'm taking it to the hospital," you know. And then I had to get it like surgically removed. I mean,
so the screams helped.
Well, I knew if I walked up calmly, she would have been like, "Well, you seem fine."
Yeah,
you know, she wouldn't have bought it.
One time, we were on vacation at the beach. I had an asthma attack. I was in fifth grade. The Amityville Horror book had come out that summer, and it was
I grew up in Long Island,
true story,
you don't have to tell
right?
me.
So I'm like, I think I really have to go to the emergency room. And he's like, listen, all they do when you go to the emergency room is shoot you up with adrenaline, which, you know, you just make when you're scared. So I'll just read you this book.
Oh. your dad was as brilliant as mine, I see.
Sat there going, reading me the Amityville Horror. And finally, I'm like, Dad, it's not working.
Not working.
I'm sorry.
Twice in my childhood in grammar school, I had amnesia.
Really?
From knocks to the head. Because
it all makes sense naturally. Without
going to the hospital. But I remember like the worst one, not that it was, you know, one was worse than the other. I think the second one healed quicker. But the first one, I remember I was in my room and I had this desk and my father was always joking around. And I went to sit down at the desk and he pulled a chair out from under me and my
and
head
you hit
went
your head
bang on the back. And I blacked out and couldn't remember what had happened. I knew who I was. It wasn't like, you know, who am I? Am I, you know,
right.
But I didn't know where, like what was going on, where I was.
You right.
Like what
you're
did
disoriented.
We now, obviously I had a concussion, you know, but
yeah,
your mother must have wanted to strangle your father.
She did. And there was a huge, she called the doctor. She did call the doctor and he said, oh, if he's not better, you know, tomorrow, whatever. And then I got better. Like the next day, by the midday, I remember though milking it. I remember it was like, because it was like 6 o'clock at night when it happened. And I was just, I could see they both felt bad. And I was like, do I have to go to school tomorrow? No, you don't have to go to school tomorrow. Okay, great. And by halfway through.
That's all I care about.
And then I'm like, can I go watch TV now? Yeah, you
worth
can watch
it.
TV.
Oh.
But then by midday the next day, I got it back. But then about 3 months later, I was in my, I had bunk beds, and my friend and I were over, and I was playing around. Mm. I fell off the top bunk and banged my head, and again, I got amnesia. And again, there was no trip to the doctor or hospital.
Oh, my God. Remember all those amnesia storylines in the soap operas? Yeah. We thought it was far-fetched.
They're real.
Charlie,
they're real.
All my children.
Charlie was homesick watching the soap operas like, that's right. That's right.
That's a true story.
They were getting their storylines from Charlie.
I wrote into the producers. Dear
Let me ask you something, Charlie. Let me ask you something. If your mother was the one that pulled the chair out and gave you the concussion, what would the reaction be then? Because I know she could blame
your
dad or you.
She would have blamed my father for
she
being
should
in the way.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
Why were you in the way when I pulled that chair out? Or why weren't you here if you weren't in the room to stop him?
And then she'd look at you and go, I'd like you to take some personal responsibility.
So that's what I mean. You think, like, I knew that was good. So why would you tell them when something happens?
If yeah.
You know your dad's going to get in trouble or your mom's going to
get in trouble. And there's going to be a big fight.
You're going to get in trouble. Yeah. Nothing good will come of it. Nothing at all.
No. Unlike my parents, I am actually going to pick up my kid at school.
You're actually going to show. Oh, well, this was so much fun.
I'm sorry that
Charlie,
I have to wrap up.
Thanks for coming, Charlie.
Well, we're going to have you on again.
All right, ladies. I hope you're all fine.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, drive safe. All right, bye.
Strangers with Kittens is taped before a live audience of dogs.